Romans chapter 8. We'll look at the first 8 verses here, and then we will pray, and then we'll get into looking into Joshua chapter 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us. Over the last month or so, we've seen about every facet of weather, good, middle, to fierce. And so we thank you for this week. And that you have given to us the day, beautiful out there, nice sunny day, warm, and we thank you for that. And so we ask now that you'd bless this look into your word this morning as we talk about this thought of the spiritual and carnal mind as it relates here in Joshua chapter 1, that it might be profitable to us, that it might help us to grow in our nurture and admonition as we seek you in all things. So we'll give you the praise and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now let's go back to Joshua chapter 1 and let's look at verse 8 or verse 7 again. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So we see here in this verse, God is telling Joshua to be strong and very courageous. Why strong and very courageous? Well, because God had given him a task, right, to observe the law. He wanted him to observe the law that was given to him, to not turn from it to the right or to the left, but to obey it 100%. And he is reminding Joshua that there can be no deviation from this plan. There's no deviation from what I am telling you to do, because what you are going to do is very intense. It's going to be very strong. So you have to be strong and courageous, and then you will prosper whatever he puts into his hand. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That word depart means to withdraw or to remove. So he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate to ponder therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So he's saying, listen, you've got to observe everything that I've commanded you to do, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We talked about that verse last week, about having a prosperous and successful Christian life. So here he's reminding him again to not let the word of God depart. He's notion him to tell him, hey, meditate on day and night. This exercise with the words of God would help him. We know from having the whole counsel of the word of God that the meditating on the word would help to hide it in his heart, to observe that to the things that he was going to do. He had to know what he was supposed to do. To observe means to hedge about, to guard. So when God is telling Joshua to observe, he's telling him that you need to hedge yourself. You need to guard yourself against doing what you want to do, and guard yourself by getting the word of God in you that you'll do what I'm telling you to do. So he's telling, listen, you need to put a hedge up. Look at verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so again, he's encouraging Joshua to be strong and have good courage, but now adds not to be afraid or dismayed. The word strong there means to fasten upon, to hence, to seize. The word courageous means to be good, same word is to be alert, right? So be strong to fasten yourself, hold yourself together, to guard yourself, and then be strong to seize upon or to control yourself. The word courageous means good, and to continue on. The word afraid means to be dread or to fear. Dismayed means to prostrate oneself, meaning to break down. oneself. So all of these traits will be needed to follow through with what God has told him to do. God is instructing him to do those things. And in this opening first chapter here, God has instructed him that he will continue to go forward. Look back at verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So God is reminding him that no foe that he's going to face in the next few months and years will be able to stand against him, because he is going to be with them. And then again, he tells them to be strong and be courageous. So he's saying, listen, but don't turn from the right hand to the left hand. Don't deviate from what I'm telling you to do. And we'll talk more about this in a few minutes. But the fact is, the children of Israel are standing on the wrong side of the Jordan River. We sang that song, and the song there at the end, and it talks about God leadeth me, and it, God through Jordan leadeth me, right? So that's sometimes people use that in a reference of going to heaven, but we've talked about in this. This is not crossing Jordan is not a type of going to heaven. It's a type of the joyous and victorious Christian living. And so sometimes the songs get a little wrong, but that's okay. The idea is that we want to cross over. So the children of Israel are standing on the wrong side of the Jordan. On that side of the Jordan, they did not have the promised land that God had told them that they could have. They are going to have to cross that river and then go, and not just go there and dwell, but they've got to go there and conquer. And as we think about this thought, let's go back to Romans chapter 8 now, and let's look at that. So they're standing on the wrong side of the Jordan, and God is leading them and God is guiding them, but there's a problem. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore, verse 1, now no condemnation that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God here is clearly delineating a difference between those that walk in the flesh and those that walk in the Spirit. And this is important because it's going to play out when you see as we read forward. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we see here that he says, listen, what the law could not do because it was weak in the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So the fact is that Jesus Christ came down. He was God come in the flesh. He was born of a virgin and then lived a sinless life so that one day he would be able to stand and go to the cross and die, be the sacrifice for all mankind, because there had to be a payment for that sin. You go back in the Old Testament and you look at the Old Testament and the different ways that it was worked there. God has a plan, and he had that plan through Jesus Christ. And when it's worked out and it's done the way that it's supposed to, we see how it all works together and God moves it. So Jesus Christ came for the sole purpose to be the propitiation for sins. In the Old Testament, they had to kill the lamb. And then when the lamb was killed, they would spread that blood on the altar, and that would last for that year, for that covered the sins. And they'd have to do that over and over and over again. Jesus said, I am the Lamb of God who has come, and I am going to give my life that payment can be paid once and for all. That's why we don't have to come and confess our sins every week, because the sin was done and dealt with at one time when Jesus Christ died and on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. So we see that play out here. So God is reminding us that, listen, there is a difference between those that walk in the flesh and those that walk in the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, what I find interesting in this passage is, when you talk to people who are saved, people that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as the payment of their sin, when you talk to them, you find a lot of people that are discouraged, despondent, sad, all the attributes that you can think of. But what we don't see is, a lot of times, is we don't see what it says there in verse 6. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's the life and peace that God is looking for. It's the life and peace that God wants us to see. He wants us to understand that, hey, I am going to give you this life and I'm going to give you peace. But when we look at this in verse 6, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. What does the word mind mean? The word mind there means to exercise the mind, to entertain or to have a sentiment of our opinion. So God says, those that entertain the things of the flesh do the things of the flesh. But those that entertain or think on the things that are spiritual and have life and peace. So one leads to death and one leads to life and peace. That's what God is trying to get across. So that brings us to a thought, what are we minding? And when God is standing, when God is talking to Joshua, he's saying, Joshua, you are to not turn from the right hand or the left hand of the law. You are to observe all the things that are written therein. He is saying, Joshua, I want you to think on and be thoughtful of the things that I am telling you to do. We live in a day and age where people come and they go in and out of church week after week after week, but they're not minding the things of the flesh. They are coming to do what they're expected to do. They're coming because this is what the expectation is. This is what they're commanded to do. They'll come in and they'll go out, and they won't even really think about what is God wanting me to do with my life. And that's the minding of the flesh. God tells us to exercise our mind, to every day to be exercising our mind on the things of God. We are to set our affections on it. Remember what God said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. And he tells us to think, to mind ourselves, to think on these things. Right? Philippians chapter 4, 8. We talk about it pretty regularly. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God says, what I don't want from you is I don't want you thinking on the things of this world, but I want you thinking on the things of me. And what he's trying to get Joshua to understand is, Joshua, if you think on the things that I've told you to do, then this journey that you're about to go on will be a smooth sailing. Doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but it'll be smooth sailing because in the end, I am going to be leading you, I am going to be guiding you, and no man will be able to, no foe will be able to get victory over. However, if you turn to the right and turn to the left, there's going to be problems. Because those things, what I'm telling you, will not happen. The reason we need to be attentive of what we are mindful of is because it is the difference between life and death. Now, when I talk about life and death, I'm not talking about like in dying and your life ending. I'm talking about in your personal life. I'm talking about the difference between joy and sorrow, the joy and pain, joy and long-suffering. The blessings of God are to be desired over the things of the world, and we should despise those things. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says, I want you, number one, I want you to come to that place and realize that I am the Savior of the world. I didn't just come to be a good prophet. I didn't come so people could learn from me. I didn't come that you could follow somebody else. I came that you would follow me, that you would submit yourselves unto me, which because I am God come in the flesh. And when you do that, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want you to get in you the word of God. And again, I'll say it. You'll have churches all over this area, all over our country. People will come in and out of church and not even have any, the pastor or the person speaking will not even encourage them to look in the word of God for themselves. God says, I want you to get into my word. I want you to learn what I've said. And that's one of the reasons why we should come to church. One of the reasons we should come to church is because The whoever is speaking is going to get up and he's going to share with you from the Word of God what the Word of God says. That's what church is about. God says, I want you to get into my Word. We see that word renewing of your mind. It gives us that understanding that transforming is taking place. Just like the children of Israel were not going to cross over the Jordan and enjoy all the blessings without conflict. It's not going to happen without conflict. And I think what we have is we get saved, we trust God as Savior, and then we think our life should just be peachy and everything should be great, smooth sailing for the rest of our life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The same for us this morning. Having a spiritual mind takes obedience and it takes effort. It's not going to happen by coming in here and sitting down and listening to a sermon. It's not going to happen by reading a passage of Scripture every day and expecting it to make you spiritual. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's not going to even happen just by being around spiritual people. It can help you, but it's not going to make you spiritual. You can hang around spiritual people and listen to the conversations that they're having about the Word of God, but it's not going to make you to grow spiritually. What's going to make you to grow spiritually is instead of just listening, get in the Word of God yourself and engage yourself in the conversation around the Scripture. That will help you. But look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's kind of what God is telling Joshua. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, put on. The word put on there means to invest with clothing, to array, to clothe oneself. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So let's be honest this morning. In all of our years of going to church, have you seen more wrestling with the flesh and blood or wrestling against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness? So the question is, why do we see so much wrestling with flesh and blood? Could it be because in verse 10 and 11, we are not strong in the Lord and we lack power because we're not putting on the whole armor of God? Could it be that it denote this whole idea of putting on armor denotes work, effort? Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take ye unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So he's saying, you got to take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you must put these things on. Look at verse 18. Praying with all, always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now again, notice verse 17, it's the word of God. And again, he told Joshua that if you will obey all that I've written therein, then you will have prosperous. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will have success. So God says, when you've obeyed my words, then will you prosper. You know how many people I have that talk and they're complaining about this and that and God not doing this and God not blessing their lives and boy, God's not, that's a life of carnality. That's the carnal mind. Why would we expect God to bless us when we're not following his commands? And we all fall into that. We all have times where we seemingly follow better than other times. We all have that. None of us are excluded from that. But when we spend more time in worldly activities than we do study and meditating the Word of God, why do we expect God to bless us? And why would we expect ourselves to have spiritual minds when we spend so much time in those types of activities? When the influence is more of the world than of God in our lives. But God wants us to have a land of rest. He wants us to be able to do those things. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, the problem that we have is that living in the wilderness is not that bad. And the problem with the children of Israel at that time was living in the wilderness wasn't that bad. Yeah, they may have got tired of manna from heaven, and they may have got tired of that, but, you know, it's really not that bad. I mean, God gave them food in the wilderness. He clothed them in the wilderness. The shoes that he gave them never wore out. Man, I'd like to have a pair of those. I get tired of buying shoes. Clothes wearing out all the time. Some of our kids, they seem to get by them a pair of jeans, it's like the hole in the knees just appear. Not to mention any names. Sitting next to the, sitting second to the left there. God gave them water in the wilderness. God took care of their basic needs in the wilderness, and the children of Israel enjoyed these blessings. And what did they do? They complained. But you think about us as believers today, right? That's what we do. God provides shelter for us. He gives us a place to live. He gives us food. He allows us to have food. I don't know of anybody that I know of that goes without. I mean, if you're going without, you can go find a place that'll give you food. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying, there's really not a situation where you should have to go without. He provides our basic needs. We have good friends. We for the most part, we have everything that we could possibly want. And what do? We complain. We complain because we're not focused on the things that we're supposed to be focused on. We're focused on the negative things. Look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident knowing this, that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now notice again in verse 9, it says, wherefore we labor. We labor. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn over a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So it needs both elements to become spiritual, labor and work. Because it's a battle. We have seen it in the previous passages, expressing the battle that we're in to do these things, the wrestling. Wrestle not with flesh and blood. We're to wrestle with spiritual wickedness and principalities and powers. We're to wrestle those things. We're to put on the armor of God. If we're not trying to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God change us, we're in that constant cycle, sinning, repenting. Too many times we're in this cycle. But look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So again, we see this thought of bringing into captivity. It takes work to overcome the thought life. It takes work to bring about a mindset of spirituality in our lives. Now, as we deal with these things, what we have is this battle that rages. And in Joshua's life, he was about to engage himself in a battle. As soon as he took that step towards the Jordan, the battle began. The battle was already raging, but they had not fought to that point. But they were going to have to go to war. And in this thought, the first place that God says to him, before you go and you step across this Jordan and you get into the land of Canaan, to the promised land, and you fight an enemy that you can see, the first battle that you have, Joshua, that must be won is the battle of your mind. That's the battle, Joshua, that if you don't win that one, you are going to be in trouble. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's make some application. The Word of God is important because it makes the difference between us being carnal and us being spiritual. If we look at Galatians, Galatians, Paul talks about the law being tutor. We're tutors to the law. Romans talks about us being carnally minded. So the person who is carnally minded needs commands from God to do what they do. They need the law. They need that thing. The spiritual man needs no law. They're going to live righteously because it's what is in them. It's what God is working in and through them. It will be the natural reaction to all life situations. And many times, it seems like we would rather live under the law than under the power of God in our lives. This difference between spiritual and carnal. You see, with enough willpower and pressure from God's commands, I can do something that is right instead of do something that's wrong. Meaning, if I get enough friends to encourage me, I can do what I should do instead of not do what I shouldn't do. Let me give you an example, because I don't know if that's making complete sense. Pastor Camino, come up here. So let's say, Pastor Camino, I have aught against Pastor Camino. I can't, for whatever reason, he's done something, I can't stand this guy. I'm not going to say I hate him because God says I shouldn't hate. Come on up here for a minute. But here's the difference between living in the carnal state and living in the spiritual state. I can't stand this guy. But here we are walking, let's say we're in Walmart, because everybody has to go to Walmart around here, because let's use Plum Creek Market. I'll give them a plug. But I see him, hey, Vito, how you doing, man? Good to see you. Yeah, great. Man, I hate that guy. That's the law. That's me living under law, because the law says I've got to be kind to him. Instead of living spiritually and saying, you know what, maybe he didn't mean it the way he said it. But you know what, irregardless, I forgive that guy. And I love him in Christ because he's a brother in Christ. Thank you. That's the difference. And too many times people will have to live under the law telling them the word. Well, the word of God says I got to love them, so I guess I better love them. But God says, I don't want you to live there. Well, I got to go to church today because it's Sunday and I'm expected to go to church. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. I mean, how terrible would it be if you felt somebody was only coming and doing something with you because they felt compelled to or they had to? God says, no, I don't want that. I don't want you to live like that. I want you to do and live in freedom and peace and joy, serving me by being obedient to me. He desires for us to go beyond doing right because we're forced to. He wants us to do right because it's the natural thing for us to do, because we're living as he would live. We are to place ourselves in a place where we can live the Christian life without force and pressure from others to do what we're supposed to do. So let me give you another illustration. So we require the kids to clean the house as part of their chores. That's, if you're going to live there, you got to clean the place, because most of the dirt and grime and all that stuff comes from them. I mean, it can't come from me. We got this, had to get this big old hairball out of the drain. And I looked at that thing and thought, that's not me. Not me. I didn't do that. But see, this is the beginning of understanding what it takes in life, that it takes work to be able to have something and to be able to live in this world. We do not want them to live off the government. We want them to be able to provide for themselves. And we want them to understand that a clean floor does not just happen. It takes work to make a clean floor. And with that, these clean floors must meet my or my wife's expectation that it's clean. And if it's not clean, they have to do it again. They do it because they are compelled to, or the wrath of Dad will fall down upon them. I don't usually see them joyfully re-cleaning the floors. I don't see them being, ooh, what a great time this is, re-cleaning the floors because I didn't do it. It's usually a somber time that they're doing because they have to do it. However, when it snows and I go out to blow snow off the driveway, all of a sudden, out come two abominable snowman-looking like creatures. These two creatures, with shovel in hand, begin to help shovel the snow. And as I look back at times, I see snow flying at each other. I see bodies flying into snowbanks. and all other sorts of tomfoolery that's going on behind my back. They are not compelled to come out and help, but they come out and help because in the process of the work, there's fun, there's joy. But it's not because they're compelled. When they're compelled to do something, it's drudgery. It's, oh, I gotta go do this. I might as well get it done. But when it's something that, hey, even though I'm working, I'm having fun, hey, this is good. I like this. It shows up in every aspect of life. It's not just in this one. You see, we will even, these two little abominable snow creatures will even tolerate the shoveling of snow, the throwing of snow, because it allows them to be in a place where it's fun and they can enjoy being out in the snow. And as believers, we need to get this point to where we truly enjoy serving God. Not serving God because we're compelled to or forced to or we have to, but because we enjoy it. Because God is a good God and he's fun to serve and he's changing my life and he's making changes in my life that are good for me. They're good for my wife. They're good for my children. They're good for the people around me. These are good things and I'm enjoying what I'm doing. However, let's look here at Nehemiah chapter 8. Look at verse 10. Let me get there. Nehemiah chapter 8. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat. Now, we sometimes can sit glued to the TV for hours. And like a little glare back there. But you know, some of you are thinking, man, this thing is going long. You're going to have to cut this down, preacher. But we'll sit to the TV hours glued, no problems. We'll even tolerate commercials. But man, the preaching's going a little long. Look at, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord, unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We have become so discontented in our walks with God, and it shows in our lives. Shows in our lives. We lack joy because our attraction is to the world is so strong that it chokes out the joy of the Lord in our lives. Matthew 27, 20, 23, 27 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye are so outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquity. See, if we're not careful, we will become saved Pharisees. Man, we're born again. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but we're just Pharisees. We're showing an outward show of religiosity, but inside, it's not there. And if we're not careful, we're always going to, I think we always kind of dip into that a little bit. We all have hypocrisies in our lives, areas that we're still trying to allow God to work and mold in our lives. But I'm talking about just flat out hypocrisy, man. Just, it's all outward, it's not inward. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. See, God says, listen, I don't want you to serve me. Because if you don't, you're going to have fire rain down from heaven. I want you to serve me because you love me. I don't want you to be carnally minded and have to be have the law over your head to make you to do right. I want you to be in a place where you're going to do right because it's going to please me. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but that which meat in, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now notice, if you notice there, look what he says there. Labor not for meat that perisheth, but labor, if you will, for meat which endureth unto everlasting. God says, listen, don't just labor. why is it that you're so easy to labor for meat that perishes? Most of us go to a job, and we go there, and when we put in our time, they pay us for our time. That's laboring for meat that perishes. Because that money that we have, especially in our country, is a faulty backed money anyways. Any day, the whole thing can be kicked out from underneath, and that money that we have, no matter how much we have of it, can be basically useless. But he says, I want you to labor. I want you to work for the meat that perishes, the meat that lasts unto everlasting. So as we think about these things, God is saying, listen, I want you to live for a way to be spiritual. Look back at verse 26 there. When they found him, well, verse 25, it says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye'd eat the loaves and were filled. God said, guys, you're not coming to me today because you saw the miracles that I did, and it's driven you to the point where you say, I want to follow that guy. You're coming because you had the loaves and you were full. You ate and now you're full, and that's why you're coming to me. You're not coming to me because you want spiritual things. You're coming to me because what you want. It's what you need. And God says, listen, don't live in a life that you're only seeking God when it's what you want, what it's you need. Come to me because you love me. If you think of our lives, and think of our prayer lives especially, the majority of our prayer lives are for things that deal with physical things. They're not to deal with the spiritual things. And God says, I don't want you to be about that. I want you to get to the place to where you're going to love me and you're going to put everything. The carnal mind requires no work. He says, listen, labor for that which is spiritual. Don't labor for the physical things. You can labor. If you put that labor in, that's great. But why don't you labor for me in my things? See, the carnal mind takes no effort, no work. It takes me no work to stand here and criticize somebody else for doing what they're doing. Well, I mean, Adam's back there, he's working on that thing. I'd do it a whole lot differently if I was him. That takes no work. Or I could go and try to help him and put in labor to make his job easier. See, the effort is what God wants. You know why they had no problem wandering around in the desert for so long? And why even some of that group is not even going to want to go into the promised land? That take no effort. They didn't have to work for their food. They didn't have to work for their water. They didn't have to work for their clothes. They didn't have to work for their shoes. They didn't have to work for anything. God just supplied it for them. What a great life. But God says, yeah, and I don't want to get into next week's message, but yeah, this life is, it's sufficient. But across that Jordan, man, you'd love that life. You'd love that life. And too many people are sufficient to just sit and live where they're at instead of fighting and laboring to get the great blessings that God has in store for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says, and brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? God says, listen, the reason why there's all this striving and lack of peace is because you're carnal. When you should be eating meat, you're still drinking milk as a babe because you're not laboring to get the spiritual mind. Instead, you're doing nothing and you're getting the carnal mind. And God says, I don't want you to have the carnal mind. I don't want you to have it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. See, God does not want us to live in the carnal mind where there's no joy, no happiness. But he wants us to live in a place where we have the spiritual blessings of God and the spiritual mind. Where no matter what comes our way, we're going to take it and we're going to still be joyful. We're still going to be happy. We're still going to be blessing God and praising God because He's there. Look here at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The word diligently there means to search out, to investigate, to seek after. So God says, listen, it's without faith it is impossible to please Him. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. There has to be faith that He is who He says He is. And that when you do, when you come and you serve Me and you seek Me and you're doing these things, then you'll be rewarded. What was Timothy told? Study to show thyself approved unto God. He didn't say just read. He didn't say just live and it'll come to you. He said, man, you got to get in there and study. You got to get in there and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes work to rightly divide the word of truth. It takes time to rightly divide the word of truth. It takes time to get into the word of God and to do those things which only He can do and work in our lives. And when we do that, that will change our mind from the carnal mind where we have to do this, we have to do that, I have to do this, and I have to do that, to, man, I get to do this. It's the difference between re-cleaning the floor and playing in the snow while I'm shoveling snow outside. I mean, I'm still working in both situations, but one I'm enjoying it, and one I'm not so much enjoying it. Well, God expects me to give. This is why I can't stand about the preaching a lot of times. Malachi chapter 3, you're going to be cursed with a curse if you don't give to God. Why? Why do we want to preach that? That's the law. That's the law forcing you. That's guilting you into giving to God what is only His anyways. Instead of getting to the place where you say, man, I get to give back to God what He's already given me. What a blessing that is. Because God loveth a cheerful giver. God, let me give you just a newsflash. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need you, but He wants you to get to that place where you'll serve Him because you love Him, not because you have to. If you had a friend that only would be friends with you because they had to, how much of a friend would that really be? And the God and Father in heaven looks down and says, man, I loved you so much, I died for you. And you only want to be with me because you have to. God help us to get to the place to where we have a spiritual mind and not a carnal mind. Where we are laboring to allow God to speak and work in our hearts. To the point to where we'll say, God, I'm serving You and loving You because I get to, not because I have to. I'm going to church so I can hear from You through the Word of God and to be around the other brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage them, to strengthen them, that they may encourage and strengthen me because I get to, not because if I don't, what will people think of me? Because if all we do is because it's what it's expected of us, we're not really serving. We're slaves in the aspect of we have a master that we must serve. Instead of being slaves for a master who we get to serve. God doesn't want us to live in the carnal. He wants us to live in the spiritual. He wants us to do the things that we do because we get to, not because we have to. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us.